This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. You've seen this footage on nature shows. Hundreds of just-hatched baby sea turtles. They're scuttling down a beach. Gulls and crabs. Pick off a few of them. Some turtles that make it, well, they plunge into the sea for the first time. But where are they going? Biologists have never been able to say for sure. In a big ocean, a tiny turtle is hard to spot. But recently, some Florida biologists made a breakthrough. They were able to tag baby loggerheads and track them by satellite, and they're using the tracking data to crack a decades-long mystery: where do the turtles go during their lost years? Their findings appear this week in the Proceedings of the Royal Society B. Kate Mansfield is an assistant professor of biology at the University of Central Florida. She led the turtle team. Welcome, Professor Mansfield.
Thank you very much.
Tell us what the big mystery is. What are the lost years?
The lost years are associated with the time from which the little hatchlings emerge from their nests. They crawl down their beaches. They'll orient into the waves and kind of swim like crazy for about the first 24 or 48 hours. It's called their frenzy period. And during that time, they're pretty much swimming directly offshore. They're getting offshore away from nearshore predators. And from the time that they leave the nesting beach, they're, depending upon the species, about 3 centimeters, 4 centimeters long, until they show back up again as larger juveniles in coastal waters. That can be anywhere from, depending upon species, from about 20 centimeters on up to 45 centimeters in the case of the loggerheads in the Atlantic that we studied.
And so how much time are they out there that we don't know where they are?
That's a huge question. We don't really know. The time frame likely varies based on the species. For green turtles and Kemp's Ridleys, say in the Gulf of Mexico, their oceanic stage may be a couple years. They start showing up again in nearshore habitat when they're about 20 or 30 centimeters. But for the loggerheads, it may be a little bit longer. And we don't really know quite how long it may be, but it could be several years.
And so why is it so important for you to know this?
In terms of working with and trying to conserve and protect sea turtles, they're very long-lived, late-maturing animals. They don't reach maturity for several decades. For loggerheads, this may be 25 to 30-plus years. So they have to survive upwards of a couple decades in the open ocean, in their oceanic habitat, and then in coastal habitats as larger juveniles before they can reach maturity and then put back into their population. That's part of the problem with the protection of these animals. You have to essentially protect them for many, many years and many decades before they can reproduce. Mm.
So you were able to, though, track them by satellite with a really interesting technique. Tell us how you did that. You've come up with a technology breakthrough.
It was fairly simple in retrospect, but initially my collaborator, Dr. Jeanette Weineken down at Florida Atlantic University, she and I had to first figure out a way to successfully tag the little turtles. The technologies until recently were not quite there for us to be able to put a satellite tag on what we call a neonate sea turtle, which is under a year old. And the tag technologies were too large. Batteries that were used for larger tags on larger turtles were almost the same size as some of the smaller animals. So a few years ago, some satellite tags were developed that were solar powered. They're used on birds. And that greatly reduced the size and the weight of the tags, so we could actually put them on smaller turtles. And then the next issue that we had to deal with was how to keep a tag attached to a fast-growing turtle. And the little turtles that we worked with initially were loggerheads. We've since moved on to a couple other species. But with the loggerheads, they grow really quickly, and the shells will peel. And so initially we started out trying some traditional tag attachment methods for that are used on larger loggerheads, assuming that we could just glue a tag on and it would stay on with marine epoxy, a hard epoxy. And unfortunately, the tags fell off within about 1 to 2 weeks, whereas on larger turtles it can last for up to several years, maybe 2 to 3 years on the back of a larger turtle. So we had to come up with a different solution.
And I understand you got that solution. You got that design help from a nail salon technician at Not Just Nails in
yes.
Boynton Beach,
yes.
Florida. Tell us
Marisol.
About that.
Yes. it was actually really, this is women in science. The Jeanette Weineken's manicurist, and it's also her husband's manicurist, he plays guitar, recommended that we try an acrylic nail fill on the shells of the turtles. And the reason that we decided to try this was that the turtle shells are made of the same material as our human fingernails and toenails. And Jeanette, by the way, has great pedicures with little waves painted on them all the time. So it was kind of the keratin connection in a sense where we decided, we tried out at Marisol, of not just nails, recommended an acrylic nail fill kit that we tried out, painted it on the back of the shell of the turtles. And sure enough, instead of 1 to 2 weeks tag attachment, it lasted in the lab upwards of about 3 months, 2 to 3 months. So it solved the problem for us. We also used some old wetsuit material that we glued using hair extension glue and toupee glue on either side of the vertebral ridge of the turtles, this ridge that goes down their center of their shells, and then some silicone, just aquarium silicone, to hold the tag on.
Mm-hmm. Our number, 844-724-8255, 844-SCI-TALK, talking with Dr. Kate Mansfield about tagging sea turtles. Now, I understand that you had some, because this is science, you had some engineering design failures, too. You tried to make a little swimsuit for the turtles?
That, yes. We initially tried a harness approach. We were going for either a glue-on attachment that was flexible or a hard one. And then we also tried some harnesses that were designed to based on a little singlet design. And we had a lot of fun with that. One of Jeanette's former students and was she originally decided to go to fashion design school and that before she decided to become a biologist. And so she had some mad sewing skills. And we ended up trying neoprene outfits. We called them the Borat because they looked like the mankini that Borat wore.
Yeah.
And then we tried some bathing suits and bathing suit material, Lycra, and a number of different designs, some ruching on the side to allow for growth. Unfortunately, in all cases, the turtles grew into the harnesses and did not shed cleanly out of the harnesses. We were going for that wardrobe malfunction, the wardrobe failure, so the turtles would escape without being snagged by, you know, anything down the road.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, none of that worked.
So you couldn't get Janet Jackson wardrobe failure on your turtle.
Exactly. No, we couldn't.
but you thought they would outgrow it. But you did then come up with the solution from not just nails, using the nail polish.
Yes. Yeah. The key to our tagging success was really the acrylic base coat, at least for the loggerheads.
The base coat. I want everybody to know how they could how science works sometimes.
It's been
not
fun.
Not fancy lab equipment all the time.
No. It involves a lot of creativity, in my opinion.
So now that you've discovered how to track the turtles, we need a little drum roll for you to tell us, where do they actually go during their journey?
Well, it was fairly exciting because these data are the first for any in-water behavior, any information on how the turtles interact with their environment and where they may be going on a broad scale. And initially, they remained in the Gulf Stream as expected. They dispersed up towards Cape Hatteras, and they moved fairly quickly, too. Some of the turtles reached Cape Hatteras offshore of Cape Hatteras within 11 days to 19 days. But we did see some variation in their movement, and long-standing hypotheses and understanding of early turtle movements and behavior for Atlantic loggerheads, at least, would be that they would entrain within what's known as the North Atlantic subtropical gyre. And that includes the Gulf Stream that runs up the coast of the U.S. and then it hangs kind of an east heading towards the Azores. It turns into the North Atlantic Current and then eventually makes its way down off of Africa as the Canary Current and then back across as the North Equatorial Current. So the turtles have always it's been understood that they likely entrain within this gyre and they follow this gyre in this large one-way directional developmental migration. But we saw something a little bit different from this pattern, and over half of our turtles ended up going in towards the Sargasso Sea. They were constrained by this gyre, but they ended up moving into the interior of the gyre. So that was unexpected.
And Sargasso is where, for people who don't know?
The Sargasso Sea is essentially the interior of the Atlantic Ocean, I believe. It's it's inside the large gyre system that I described.
And it's a collection of a lot of grass and stuff there, right? Where they possibly could hide out or seek shelter or grow or...
It's called the Sargasso Sea in part because of the amount of sargassum, which is a brown macroalgae that collects in the Sargasso Sea. And it's where sargassum ends up as part of its life history or life cycle.
Mm-hmm. Now, were you able to follow them right in there with the satellite tracking? And did any of them, were you able to recover any of them with this little tracking?
Yeah.
Why not? Wouldn't you want to go out there and find one that you've got?
That's where my next grants are hopefully going to be coming, supporting, hopefully. But no, the tags themselves, because the turtles are growing so quickly, they will shed, and they'll shed cleanly off the turtles. We expect that the tags would stay on from about 2 to 3 months. So unfortunately, no, we were not able to recover any of the tags. Hopefully the turtles are still out there swimming.
Can you tell from tagging what their survival rate is, by how many you can keep track of, or those that don't make it?
It may be difficult because you'd have to, I think you can infer that while the tag was transmitting, that the turtle was likely alive. And there are some models that might be able to work that survival aspect into it. But it would be kind of a difficult assumption to make that the turtles died after the tag transmitted or ceased transmitting or otherwise. But we do know that they were likely alive during the transmission period.
So you wouldn't know if they got eaten by something else?
No, unfortunately. It would be one potential reason for tag cessation or the fact that the tags shed.
Mm-hmm. Talking with Kate Mansfield on Science Friday from PRI, Public Radio International. I'm Ira Plato with a really interesting discussion about, these turtles and where they went and your discovery that they go out there into the Sargasso Sea. And when I read this and I was thinking about your breakthrough with your technology there, wouldn't you want to just put a little turtle camera on the back of one of them so you could follow it? And I'm sort of being facetious, but that would seem to be technically possible. Could you not do that?
I would love to, yes. The Critter Cam, has been used on larger sea turtles. I don't know offhand whether the technology is quite there yet, but I'd love to find out if that were the case. I would very much like to get some footage of what they're doing out there.
Mm-hmm. Why do they go out to sea at all? I mean, what are they doing out there? And they come back to shore as juveniles. Why don't they just stay on the shore close by all that time?
There are a number of hypotheses associated with why turtles go offshore initially during that early oceanic juvenile stage. And one of them is that perhaps they're trying to avoid nearshore predators. Another idea that we're proposing with our paper is that perhaps they're also receiving some sort of thermal benefit from associating with habitats such as sargassum. Mm. Sargassum is a known habitat that the turtles at that age and size do associate with. They also remain at the sea surface, too, for a good bit of their time. And we also, from our paper and our work, we were able to validate that assumption as well. And based on the tag itself and the performance of the tag, the tags can only transmit when they're at the sea surface. And because they were solar-powered tags, we could infer that the tags charged really well, so they were lucky at the surface.
Let's see if we can get a phone call or two in here. Let's go to Wichita. Nicole, hi. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hi.
Hi there. You there?
I had a question. Yes, I'm here. Sorry. I had a question for Miss
Dr. Mansfield
about the... Yes, I'm sorry, Dr. Mansfield. You've mentioned that the keratin that their shells are made from is similar to the keratin structure of our fingernails. So if acrylic nails are known to be damaging to human fingernails, is there any concern that the acrylic you're using on their shells will hinder the growth of the shell or damage it in any way?
Thank you. That's a very good question. We initially, before this study was completed and this paper came out, we had another study where we ended up working with turtles in the laboratory, and we ended up testing the turtles' growth and feeding behavior and a whole other in condition of the animals, and also made observations about their shell and everything associated with the tag attachment method that we developed. And we tested that against a control group. So we did work pretty hard to understand what the impacts may be to the turtles and to also minimize any impact. And for them being endangered and threatened animals, we also had to pretty much satisfy the permitting agents, too.
So what do you want to do next? Where do you go from here? Bigger plans?
Yes, it's an adventure, that's for sure. Jeanette Weineken and I are still collaborating on new tag attachment methods. We're working our way through the species. We're working with leatherbacks now and just finished some work with green turtles. I have some other projects that are going on in the Gulf of Mexico where I'm catching in water wild-caught green turtles and Kemp's Ridleys in the northern Gulf in the area where the oil spill occurred to look at their movements and behavior there. I'm working with a great group down in Brazil, Tamar, who were tagging small loggerheads down in the South Atlantic. There's a similar gyre system down there, so we're looking to maybe compare to what the turtles do in the North Atlantic.
Well, Dr. Mansfield, we'll have you back to talk about that, okay, when you're all done.
Great. Thank you so much.
Kate Mansfield, Assistant Professor of Biology at the University of Central Florida. We've got pictures of some of Dr. Mansfield's turtles, including shots of their failed turtle swimsuit at our website. Great photos. Go to sciencefriday.com and look for it.